Thank you, Mr. Ashcraft. In her 73rd year, Mary Harris Jones, a.k.a. Mother Jones, began a march from Philadelphia to New York City. She had seen enough. She leads a small army of several hundred textile workers, half of whom were under the age of 16. They were on the march to see President Theodore Roosevelt to plead for support of ending the abominable work life of tens of thousands of Philadelphia children. They marched in their tattered rags with many of the children missing fingers from a moment's carelessness at a loom. In the textile factories, they used to push the yarn in these giant looms. And that's what made the actual fabric. And they used the children's hands because they were small enough to push it in. But unfortunately, the children lose their fingers. 60 hours a week, week in and week out, with no future for those children. This grandmother, as she was known, the grandmother of all agitators, as she was known nationwide, she stormed toward the U.S. Senate and was on the move to fix this problem. For the hundreds that came with her and the almost 2 million other children working in mills, mines, and factories throughout the United States. She looked like a sweet old lady, about 5 foot tall, simply dressed with silver white hair. But behind her plain wire spectacles were eyes that knew pain. My sermonette today, brethren, is to dealing with passion. That's the name of the sermonette. Passion. Passion comes from the Greek root of suffer. We've all heard the movie The Passion of Christ. That's part of the suffering of Christ. In Latin, it's patium. It has two definitions, but for our purposes, it means a strong and barely controllable emotion. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 3, brother, and we'll see what we're talking about. Acts 1, verse 3. And it says, in the King James, it says, to whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen to them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. This is Jesus showing himself to the then disciples after all his stripes that he had gone through, his and the gash in his side and his hands. In other translations, it's mentioned in the first part of verse 3. It says, after his suffering. So we understand that Jesus went through, it's safe to say, a barely controllable emotion. An utmost human suffering. That's when you go through, when you stand up to what you believe in. Jesus stood up for what he believed in. He didn't jump up and down, scream, holler. No, he stood firm. A quiet strength. He mentioned to everybody, to the ones that accused him, he said, if I was the king of this world, I'd have a legion of angels come and defend, take me. If you stand up for your values, your inner core, something comes out of you, something that's almost barely controllable, that you have to really hold in. Something that Stephen went through. Stephen went through this. when he was attempting, when he was giving a sermon to those people that gave him his thanks and stoned him to death. By the way, has anyone been hit by a rock? It hurts, doesn't it? Just imagine getting chunked one after another. That's a very slow death, and boy, it is painful. I can't imagine somebody with doing that to another human being. And Stephen went through that. But nevertheless, he stood firm to the very end. Going back, Mother Jones, you see, had nothing to lose. She gave everything she had. Mother Jones was born in 1830 in County Cork, Ireland. She was Irish on top of that. Her father immigrated to the U.S. and began working on building canals and railroads, jobs similar to those he held in Ireland. He came by himself. And around the 1840s, he became a naturalized citizen, and that's when he brought his wife and his daughter, Mary, who was 5 years old at that time. That was the time, more or less, my great-grandmother came to. She was an excellent student. She graduated top of her class in high school, and then later on she became a teacher. And she was a teacher in a Catholic school in Monroe, Michigan. Her mom, to make ends meet, knew how to make dresses. And she showed her daughter how to make them. And she grew a talent for it. But then she went on and she got a degree in teaching. But she, after teaching for a while, she went back and she said she wanted to go to her talent, which was dressmaking. So she moved to Chicago to pursue the possibility of, you know, in dressmaking. And that's when she went to those factories, those infamous sweatshops. And she experienced working in dressmaking. And then she got really tired of it. So at age 30, she was offered another teaching job in Tennessee and moved to Memphis. There, she met a man named Robert Jones, an iron worker, a member of the Iron Molders Union. In the first 4 years of marriage, they had 4 children. And work was plentiful, and life was good. But in 1867, she lost all her 4 children and her husband to yellow fever. At age 37, Mary's life was devastated. So she gathered up, and she was completely on her own, and she went back to Chicago, and she started her passion in dressmaking. And if that wasn't bad enough, the Great Chicago Fire burned down her dress shop and her house. Remember, there was no Social Security benefits. There was no life insurance. There was no something that you can, there was no Thomas J. Henry you could file to. Unfortunately, she lost everything. Now penniless and homeless, she went to her father's, husband's union, and the union members stepped up and they helped her. They funded a small one-room apartment there in Chicago, and she helped with the paperwork of the union stuff. And she found out there was a lot of loopholes, and she started pointing out things that they could go against these as far as unsafe working conditions. But remember, brethren, many people couldn't read or write back then. And she was educated, not so much educated, but she was highly educated. And she was smart. And they found out, or she found out, she had an astonished enthusiasm that later she became an American legend. She founded, in 1869, she founded the Knights of Labor. She discovered she had a talent for uniting people. And then in 1873, she was called to Pennsylvania by her fellow Irishmen. The Irish was used for digging coal mines and making the railways, mostly. And in this particular, in Pennsylvania, the miners called her for help. And when she went over there, she saw all the little children working in the mines. Remember, they didn't have masks or anything for the goggles or anything like that. So we all, I'm pretty sure all of us know about the black lung disease. And she saw all these children working in the mines instead of in school. That's when her passion turned to fire. That passion to protect the small children, nicknamed her Mother Jones. In 1877, she was involved in a nationwide walkout for the railroad workers. And remember, nationwide, she motivated a whole nation from the West Coast to the East Coast of railroad workers to walk out. And there was no cell phones or there wasn't an app for that. She struggled, she fought for 8-hour days. And then she was called again in Chicago against the McCormick Harvester factory, which was another sweat factory. And then these big unions, these big companies had what they called police or protection police. And they were just thugs. And they intimidated the workers. And that lockout involved bombs and people died. And she was right in the middle of it. And then at age 60, she organized the United Mine Workers Union. And in her 70s, she focused securing the laws that prohibited the child labor. She went to the Senate and she stood in front of the Senate and she pushed for this, child labor laws. She made it public the slave-like conditions that children worked in the garments and coal business. That means she went to the newspapers and she got the newspapers involved and the nation as itself got involved and the attention was brought to it. She saw her own children in the textiles. And she saw her husband in the mines. So that's what motivated her and drove her for that. Remember, she had nothing to lose. Let's go to James 5, brethren. James 5, verse 17. My brother James. I can't go without James. And it's talking about, James is talking about Elijah. Okay? It says, Elijah was a man subject to, says, it calls here like suffering or like passions, as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might have no rain, and it rained not for the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. In other words, Elijah passionately prayed. When was the last time we prayed passionately, brother? He gave everything he had to plead God with God. He prayed from his core. That's how we should communicate with God, brethren. Elijah was exhausted, more or less, after he prayed, and God granted him his wish. When we work, brethren, we should work with a passion because we are who we represent. Our work reflects us as a Christian, our values. We study the Bible. We should be studying it with a passion, with fervent desire. Bereans, remember the Bereans didn't even believe the disciples. They looked it up, the scriptures, to make sure what they were saying. Because that is the word of God. When we serve either at services or at in the feast, we should serve with a passion and vigor. Well, when Mother Jones finished fortifying the child labor laws at age 82, this woman is 82 years old, and back in the 1900s. She was asked by the miners of the West Virginia And they took her from Chicago to West Virginia and to help establish the mine workers union. She was arrested and thrown in jail. And the judge sentenced her to 20 years in prison. But yet, it was such an outcry because they put her in jail that the governor was forced to pardon her. She went back right back to the miners and solidified a formidable power. She was known as the miner's angel. If you go today in West Virginia, brethren, and there's her tomb, and on either side of it, there's miners guarding on her granite tombstone. She became politically progressive. She was a founder of the Social Democratic Party in 1898. She became active in the movement to obtain the right for women to vote. So she started the movement for women to vote. She also helped found the Industrial Workers of the World in 1905 for the social reform and labor activities. She was considered by the many authorities as the most dangerous woman in America because she had the uncanny ability to solidify an entire nation and move. That's passion, brethren. She took something and she ran with it. She was quoted as saying, "I am not a humanitarian. I am a razor, blank razor." On her 100th birthday, she was asked to speak on a radio station. So she took that as a platform. On that radio, she denounced the exploitation by business to the American workers. And she urged her listeners to organize to transform an unjust society. Mother Jones died in Silver Springs, Maryland in 1930. She became a legend. Let's go to Acts 14:14, brother. Now, this is Paul and Barnabas is reacting to a crowd that they had created. They had just done a miracle. So this crowd was thinking that the mentality of them was saying, "Oh, man, this guy is Zeus and the other guy is Jupiter." You know, they didn't even recognize that it was a miracle from God. So these guys flipped out. And on this in modern terminology. So let's go to 14 and says, "Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes." In other words, they just, you know, "What are you guys doing?" And ran. They just started running. And saying, "Sirs," they even said, "Sirs, why do you do these things? You're also men," you know. "Of like passions," you know, you and I have passions with you, "and preach to you that you should turn from these vanities to the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." So Paul and Barnabas is saying, "Wait a minute, guys, you know, with a passion." They had passion, they're ripping their clothes and running around to transform their what they were doing, that people just got it wrong. Brethren, I'm asking all of us to get that passion back that when we first came as servants of God, to get it back. And again, passionately fear God and obey His commandments.